Blog Talk Radio.
Live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com.
Really interesting. Your parents are so involved with each other. Wednesday, do you think like maybe someday you might want to get married and have kids?
No.
But what if you met just the right man who worshipped and adored you, who'd do anything for you, who'd be your devoted slave? Then what would you do?
I'd pity him.
Poor Debbie. She was sick.
She wasn't sick. She was sloppy.
What do you mean?
If I wanted to kill my husband, I'd do it. And I wouldn't get caught.
How?
I'd scare him to death.
No, you wouldn't. We're all very sorry, Debbie. We wish you only the best.
And I thought that was a great way to start the show. You're listening to Soulstream. My name is John Almada, and I even have a new guest in studio with me, my new phone, Scully Paradroid. And both our winners are in, who were in the contest to name my droid. We have Leslie and Nancy both participated. I basically took two of the best names and kind of did an amalgamation, if you will, of that. So anyway, isn't it sad how Debbie died in that, in Addams Family Values? I like the part where she turned to ash and then her American Express card and her Visa card showed up at the bottom of the pile. Anyway, tonight, we're here with a fully operational studio again. Even the webcam's running. I've been posting pictures of a slightly new view of things in here. I have Tim Zuhl here with us, and he's from New York State. And he's with, I'm going to try to say this, Tim, and I'll bring you on in just a moment. He's with Oswego, I hope I said that right, Oswego Ghost Hunters out of Oswego, New York. And he's the founder of that that illustrious organization, and he does a lot of paranormal investigation films, I believe some TV, and is just really into leading-edge stuff. And he also builds devices like I do. And so he's got he's actually got more stuff than I do, and that's hard to do. But he's done an amazing amount of work. Saw some of the stuff I was doing with, like, the paranormal pods, the electrostatic pods, and took the schematic I sent him, and he started building all these really high quality devices. So so we're going to introduce him in just a moment. I'm going to read off who's in the chat room. We've got Anastasia. We've got Captain BB Hawkeye. Yeah, Hawkeye here, sir. Carrie is here from South Africa. And Kathy is just in Echoes, is sitting there. I'm going to throw her a boot button. She needs one. So, but Kathy, we love you. Elizabeth Rose from Arizona is here. Good to see you. We have a guest who needs to sign in. I'm watching you. And Jeannie Marie is out there in Atlanta, Georgia, in that region. And the mind map just turned a new color. Mountain Diva, hello. And we have Nancy Mum, hello, one of our winners. Quinny, hi, Quinny. Satori's here. Great medium, psychic. We got Tim, our guest. He's sitting there in chat. And we got Leslie. So good to see you. Nice crowd to start things off here on Sunday night. And most of us are going to be off tomorrow. I hope you all sleep in and enjoy that, because I'm going to. I spent the whole day out doing plumbing work, so I'm got a little bit of a tan here. So anyway, we're going to bring Tim on and give him a nice hello. Hello, Tim.
Hi, John.
Hey, good to have you aboard. I've been looking forward to having you here.
Oh, same here.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at your Facebook page, and you've it doesn't say any much about how long you've been doing this work. So, I mean, let's just start at the beginning. How did you get into all this?
Well, for a long time I was watching the ghost hunting shows on television and got interested in that. And about 2008, my mom passed away on Christmas Eve from breast cancer. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. And about, I say, a half a week to about a week later, I was laying in bed, and I just turned the TV off, and I closed my eyes. Right when I closed my eyes, it wasn't like the half asleep, half awake kind of deal. I was still awake, and I heard in my left ear a loud voice saying, "Tim, I'm okay." I jumped up so fast, turned on the light, looked in the house. No one was in the house, and I swear it sounded like my mom's voice, and it said, "Tim, I'm okay." And, you know, it was dark. I closed my eyes, and I heard it. You know, my wife was sound asleep. And since then, I, you know, started getting into things. And then my friend said, "Let's go to Kentucky to the Waverly Hills Tuberculosis Hospital." A couple years later, and so we drove down there and went in there, and it was pretty interesting in there. And ever since, I just got obsessed with it. And then after Waverly Hills, I went to Rolling Hills three times with Sharon over there.
Oh, yeah, I know Sharon. She's a very dear friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I've been there three times because it was so so amazing in there. And started building the devices and went here and there to different smaller locations, and it just took off from there.
That's, you know, it's so striking. I mean, we have such a similar beginning to, you know, the work we're doing. I mean, I've been around spiritual activity my whole life, but I really didn't get full bore into this aspect of, you know, with the paranormal side of it and going out and investigating until, you know, my dad's stroke. And and then you know, the prospect of a parent dying just sort of launched me into this whole thing of what is death? What am I really looking at here? I mean, it changes everything, you know. And it's just striking to me. You actually had a clairaudient, you know, event happen. I mean, and this seems to happen to a lot of people who get into this field. I either, you know, something dormant is awoken, you know, at a moment of great stress, or there's some sort of, you know, as you're doing the investigation, it just seems to creep up on you, and the next thing you know, you're starting to have these experiences. So, I mean, is this something that's continued with you, you know, with the voices and things like that?
Not really. That was the first and only clear voice that I heard that actually kind of startled me. But like at Waverly Hills, I got pinched in a hallway where no one was behind me, and I
Whoa.
Saw two white shadows in two different doorways that kind of startled me, and just a smaller, not as loud, you know, sounds and growls here and there at different locations that you know, that kind of, you know, kind of gets you alert when you're in there. So, but yeah, that one loud, clear voice was the one and only one I heard. So,
do you? I mean, so that got you started with. Then you started accompanying others, and then what happened after that? I mean, you started into these different investigations. What got you into doing your own group?
There wasn't really a group up here. It's called Oswego.
Oswego, okay.
Yeah. There wasn't really a group up here that's around my area. There's some about 45 minutes south of here in a city called Syracuse, but nothing really up here. And so I wanted to start that so people up around here can, you know, let us come in and help them if they needed help, instead of having others, you know, from long distances try to help them that might not be able to give their full attention because of the distance. And we've helped a couple families, actually, that had trouble where there was small children involved. And one case we went to the house, and me and my buddy here went in there, and we heard some whispers and growls and stuff like that. So at the end, my friend Zach did sort of what you call a cleansing of the house. He's very good at that. And so he did that, and ever since we left that night, they called saying thank you so much. There hasn't been any other problems since we left that house. And that kind of makes you feel good that you actually helped the family, especially when there's little kids involved that were scared and couldn't sleep and stuff like that. And so that makes you feel pretty good that you helped someone like that.
Did when you got started, I mean, you pretty much, I guess, the same like what I did. I mean, I started with a basic recorder. Whoops, I'm going to turn that down. I got Facebook up and running, and I got somebody popping in. Sorry about that. When you got started, did you what sort of equipment did you have when you got started, and then how did it progress forward?
Yeah, the equipment I first started with was a mini DV Sony camcorder and a K2 meter and a digital voice recorder and a flashlight. That was it. That's all I had. And it just started from there, and I went online to see if I could buy some fancy equipment that, you know, looked pretty interesting. And online there was like just the prices could get outrageous, and I wasn't willing to pay, you know, a lot of money for, you know, things that I don't necessarily need. And then that's about the time when you came and showed me the schematics for the E-pods and stuff like that. And I did some research online and researched on how certain devices worked and how they actually detected this and that, and just went from there. And, like, there's a couple devices out there that the millimeter and the tri-field meter. And, you know, they can go from 100 on up to, you know, certain prices. And I just, you know, didn't want to spend that much. So, like, make your own tri-field meter that does the same thing with the three different sensors. And you have one that does the same thing, just not at the exact same box that the tri-field meter is in. So it's,
You're right. I mean, the markup on electronics is just outrageous. You know, to build your own stuff, you know, the engineering and planning involved. I mean, people think that it's easy. It's actually quite difficult. Because, you know, you're trying to anticipate what the circumstances you're going to use it in and the environment, and then to build a form factor and all that. And once you've got the circuit, you know, arrangement all worked out, and then, you know, to actually have the thing field tested and then reliable, you know. So, I've built, like, the geophone circuit, and I have a couple extra kits of those to build, for some, extras in the field. And I've actually got to try it out. I'm going to try it out here September 17th. We're doing an investigation in Stockton. There's so many different devices that are, that we repurpose, you know, that were meant for other things, and then they turn into these wonderful tools. I find myself, going back again and again to the basics, you know, when I really, like a pre-investigation, you just go in with basically what you started off with in your first list. You know, it's the camera, notepad, you know, EVP recorder, and your eyes and ears, and just trust what you get, and go forward. But are you into DVRs or anything like that? And I know you're doing a lot of video.
I wanted to. I just have to save up a little longer and find the right one that would suit me the best. But it's in my list of things to get in the future. So not quite yet, but it's something I've been thinking about here and there. And I'm sure eventually in the future sometime I'll probably get one.
Do you? Go ahead.
I was planning on getting some wireless cameras and hooking up to some kind of a laptop or computer and bring that to a location that would have, say, wireless internet, and do a show, a live ghost hunting show online. There's some websites there that you can do live video broadcasting and have the wireless cameras going through the internet and doing an actual live show where people can actually see you do it right then and there. There might be a few seconds delay here and there, but it'll be live. That's my next plan on doing that in the future too.
Yeah, I actually did some, because I work in aerospace and I used to do streaming videos when we do full bore motor tests and things like that. And I actually wrote up a spec for a man pack that we had, where you would take basically it would be one of the smaller laptops, and be able to take that and do a streaming wireless connection, and you would just have this little webcam on basically a board with a handle, and you'd walk around and you would just be able to stream this video straight out, and it worked out great. So I wrote up a spec for it, and I was thinking, the entire time I was doing this, design, I'm thinking, I could actually use this in paranormal work, if I ever got into the Ustream or anything like that. Is that something that's kind of on your plate? You're looking at, doing some sort of like a Ustream type deal?
Yeah, in the near future, some streaming live video of an actual investigation. That's my next plan on doing that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, the people that I've run into, I ran into, I think, the Paranormal TV. I'm trying to remember their whole, I'm just going to go with, it's a couple of ladies out here on the West Coast that run a Paranormal TV channel, and I don't remember their names right off the bat, but I worked with them on USS Hornet. and it's an incredible amount of work. So be prepared. I think you have a fair idea about how much work it is just to do an investigation. Just magnify that by another factor, and you're going to need a crew to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of work. But I have a few people here and there that, you know, I would have on the crew to help. So bodies aren't that scarce for over here. So that, you know, anybody, you know, extra hands are good for something like that.
What kind of cases are you getting, these days? I mean, how has this evolved over time, and what are some of the more memorable cases you've had?
This summer was a little slow because of everybody's, especially my work schedule. But there was the Waverly Hills, the Rolling Hills several times. Another paranormal group down near Syracuse came up here, and we went to a couple cemeteries, and that was pretty interesting when I got back and listened to the EVPs, because it was in the middle of nowhere, and there weren't any people around, and to hear those voices were kind of interesting. And then there was an old Navy base on one of the Finger Lakes here in New York. It used to be an old naval World War II naval base, and they had abandoned buildings in there within the campground. It's now a state park campground. And right before they were going to extend the campground and tear down the buildings, we got in there one evening, and they started tearing down a few buildings, but they still had one big factory building still up. They had big furnaces in there that honestly looked like they were building and making tanks in this huge building. We went in there. We went in there, me and my buddy Zach. We went in there and did some EVPs and some camera work, and we didn't catch much, but just a few EVPs in there. But they were, you know, Class B EVPs, so it can't really determine if, you know, it really was, or if it was, you know, outside, you know, wilderness noise coming through the building. But it was quite interesting, to say the least.
What's the one, I mean, you talked about being pinched, you know, where you've had the physical effects. So is that like one of the, you know, is there more of that kind of thing that's happened with you where you've had physical encounters, things like that?
No, I just got pinched the one time at Waverly Hills. But it was as if a little kid came up behind me and pinched me right in the back with their fingernails. And, you know, I made sure I'm the type of person who checks to see. I always try to find a logical explanation for something first. That's just me. But I looked to see if it was, a thread on my jeans or ingrown hair or something, or an insect, but nothing. There was no mark. There was nothing. But it hurt. It was like someone pinched you with fingernails, and I turned around and there wasn't anything there. And right before that incident and after, we heard footsteps coming up, running behind us. And it was quite interesting in those long, dark hallways. So, but as far as getting touched or pinched, other than that, not really. It was more of I get more of a static feeling when I walk into rooms. Like one time at Rolling Hills, I was walking down the long hallways, and it was a little chilly outside, but not too bad. And this one room, I just go into, and it just feels very heavy, and I feel like, you know, something. My whole body is charged with static, and then I'm like, wow. And then I take a few steps back out of the doorway into the hallway, and boom, it's completely gone. And then I go back into the room, and it's in that room again, and it's out on me. So it's more of those feelings now instead of that that one time where I got pinched. And after, you know, these several years of doing it, I've noticed that I'm more alert and can, it sounds funny, but I can kind of hear better and see a little better in the dark at a location now, probably because I've practiced, than I did a few years ago. Because, like, my night vision seems like it's improved since several years ago, if that makes any sense.
That does. I mean, something that I've noticed just in the work that, you know, we've done with our team here has been that those of us who've been at it a while, this is a there's something about exposure to the paranormal that changes the investigator. And, you know, I mean, I had clairaudient stuff happening before I did all this, but it really ramped up. And what you're talking about with the electrical sensations, that happens quite often out here. I mean, I'm here on a haunted ranch, and we have we're right on top of a gold mine, and we have you know, this is from 1849, 1850, 55, somewhere in there. The whole camp ran until the gold ran out, and then the community fell into disrepair. And so we're literally right on top of all these old buildings, you know, this community. And they buried people here. So we think we have about three or four bodies on the property. And we've had spirits that we've seen all this time. But what we notice is we'll walk into an area, and sometimes it's in the house, and we'll walk in and you'll get that. You'll walk right through a cold spot, and then every hair on your body will just stand up. You know, and it's not only me, my mother, you know, because she's taking care of Dad, and she'll come in and have an experience, and she'll come grab me, and she'll say, walk through that spot, and I'll walk through it. And it's just that you know, you can feel it, and you get really creeped out. You know, it's that the hair stands up in the back of your neck, and you stand back and go, oh, we have a visitor, you know, and then it moves. You know, you can actually trace the progression of it. It'll actually move around a little bit and then finally disappear. And it's like somebody's just checking in on you, you know. But, I mean, I've seen it repeatedly on cases, too. I mean, where you go out and there's just this this neat sensation you get. You just – there's something in the air, and I've never been able to get a definition of it. I think that's kind of what we're saying together. It's that you just know you're walking into a place that's got something going on. You can feel it.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Now, what about your team? I mean, I checked your site page, and and we'll definitely have you post that in the chat room if you get a chance. What about your team? I mean, how's that formed up, and what do those guys like to work with, and where are you going with all of this?
Well, my first team member Gary, he lives 40 minutes south here in Syracuse, and he's the one that me and him and I went to Waverly Hills, just me and him, for the weekend, because he's the one that told me about it, and then we decided to, start it up and go to Waverly Hills, and he's more of a scientific approach, kind of skeptic, I guess you would say, where he doesn't really... He's trying to find reasons for things to be happening, even if you can't explain them. He's in a at Time Warner Cable, doing video and video stuff down there. So he's pretty good at the with the technical aspects of audio and radio video, you know, equipment. So that was pretty handy, and it was kind of creepy for him. And then, we started from there, and then a good friend of mine, Craig, he's from Syracuse also. And then when I moved up here, they obviously stayed in Syracuse, so with everybody's work schedule, they can't really, the schedules kind of collide, so we keep in touch and see if, you know, we can, you know, schedule something and go here or there. And then my friend Zach, he lives close by, so we do, stuff up here. And then when there's stuff going on down in Syracuse, you know, I'd go down there. So it kind of goes back and forth depending on, you know, what's going on and the the schedule for everybody. But if it's kind of hard to keep track of everything and everybody's time frame of scheduling and stuff, that's the most difficult part.
Like herding cats. That's my thing. I mean, I've learned setting up investigations is I generally call a meeting like a week ahead of time, and if I pay for dinner, everybody shows up. It's amazing how that works.
All right.
So,
yeah.
Major hint: once you bring them food, they'll like show up. But that's what we do is we'll bring them in and then we go over everybody what the equipment's going to be. Most of the case, you know, I'll go over and tell them almost everything, but not quite enough to contaminate any, you know, to give any preconception of the complete picture of the haunt, and then kind of let them figure it out for themselves when they get there. So you know. And I'm feeling a little out of touch. You know, it's been a year since I've done any real stuff, so it's kind of I'm a little intimidated. I mean, it's the first time back out, really getting a bunch of people together and doing this. So it's going to be interesting. But I mean, what sort of cases do you like? I mean, what do you look for in a case that you're going to go out on, that you're going to put resources into?
It depends on if it's a an abandoned location that the owners let us go in, or if it's a family with children that needs help. Every case is different. But I'm looking for the, where like, you know, you go in and, they're very scared. And, this is my dream location. I'm telling you, is going into a location, you know, they're scared. Obviously we're there to, you know, help them. But I want to go into a room and have those books fly off the shelves at me. That's basically what I'm looking for. That's the case that I truly want. But
yeah,
other than
real.
But other than that, you know, there's usually get a with me doing it for a few years. With you know, I did see an increase in better night vision for some reason, and just get that feeling and that sense when you walk into a room and then you go into another room and it's just dead, where it's like, yeah, there's nothing in this room. But, you know, helping them out and finding, a lot of times finding logical explanations for stuff. This one location we went in, helped the lady and noticed that the walls, it was really old wiring in the walls and like all four walls in every single room. Like the whole house was just an electrical field, and we just said, yeah, it was definitely a fear cage. That's right. But with, you know, no paranormal stuff at all, and it was just bad electrical issues in the whole house. And so that's, you know, we said, you know, maybe you should get, you know, electrician to come, you know, check the wiring out. You know, the basement was horrible. The basement looked like a an electrical grid company corporation somewhere down there. You know, other than the telephone pole with the transformers on it, that basement was just really bad. So, other than that, there's this one location I loved and I wanted to go back, but we just couldn't get our schedules with me and the owners, the right schedules, because it is a banquet hall up here in Oswego. But we went in one time, me and Zach went in and the owner, and we walked around and then we went up to the attic. We heard some growls and the K2 went off by itself. That was pretty interesting. Then we went downstairs and did the spirit box. And when I played back the audio, that was interesting. Caught some very interesting stuff on that. And saw a few shadows. And we came back home and listened to the, EVPs. And those just blew me away. And ever since I listened to those EVPs, I've been trying to get back in there. But, you know, they're really good friends of ours, but the scheduling-wise is very difficult for both parties to get back in there. So, but eventually
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but eventually I'll try to plan on going back in there, and but with the scheduling, it's just kind of hard right now. So,
it is always good to go back on a case and hit a site multiple times because its character gets revealed to you, and every time it's a little different. You'll see the common stuff happen between the visits, and you'll actually get what I've found in the sites we hit out here. We'll actually get the same voices on EVP, so that really adds to the evidence. Especially when you're getting great EVPs, but somebody will be skeptical and say, well, that could be a human being. Okay, fine. And you record the conditions, and then you come back again, and there's nobody around, and yet you get the same voice on the second time out. It's like, this is pretty cool, I think you're going to get your holy grail. You will start seeing things like this. If you're seeing, it sounds like a real characterization of what you run into. You keep mentioning growls. You're running into a lot of that. There's like I guess there's some sort of a type of spirit there that tends to growl.
Yeah, I know.
We don't get a lot of that here. I mean, that's a new one for me.
I know. I mean, I don't know what it is. It must be me, but, there's little growls here and there, and it's not our stomachs growling. I'll make sure of that. But the one case that was at the banquet hall, it's this big, huge building. This facility is right there, right here in Oswego. It used to be a metal iron factory where they made snowplow blades and manhole covers. So it was a foundry, and you could still see the big furnace going straight up the middle of the dining room and everything. And so on the EVPs, we heard like metal sledgehammers banging like on metal, and men yelling. And there wasn't anybody yelling. There was just three of us in that building the whole night, and none of us was yelling at the entire night. And so you're hearing yelling and banging on metal, as if these men were still working on the iron in the factory. It was quite amazing.
Did you try, because I saw when I was looking at some of your equipment, I know you've got the EM Vortex, which I've got one of those, and some of the other different devices that Bill Chappell puts out. Were you using anything like that at the time? It's just a curious, thing here.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't using those at the time. I don't think I had them at the time. But at that place, we just had the K2 and the voice recorder, some lights, and a few other gadgets. But we didn't have any of those at the time. So,
with regard to how in your investigations when you run them, are you pretty free form, or do you tend to sit back and do like a kind of a plan of attack and how you're gonna approach it? Because those are two perfectly valid ways to go. But what's your style like, and where do you, what do you do for with your cases, in terms of structure?
Right, a few different cases. If it's a family, we'd like to go in and do a run through of the house first and see what the readings are, what we feel, stuff like that. And then we would, go in and do our investigation from one room to another. But if it's in another building, we just go all out and try to, we're not disrespectful, but we tell them straight up, hey, we're here. We want you to come out and do it now. And then, the bigger cases where we have freedom to roam around, we just go in and try to find, some logical explanations for this or that. Like the one at the banquet hall there with the factory, we saw some shadows on the wall, but we found that it was car headlights in one section. but in another section it was really dark, and that's where we both saw a shadow of a man running back into the side room. But it was every case is a little different as far as our plan of attack. It just depends on who, you know, who it is, if it's a family or if it's a business. The plan of attack is to go in and try to help them and to, you know, find if we can find some explanations for stuff.
It strikes me. I mean, I just get the feeling I keep getting the sense that you're going to have some really interesting things coming forward. I mean, everything you're doing, you know, with where you've been, you know, I've been doing this since about 2006. I mean, you started in 2008, 2009, right? I mean, that's kind of when this all started up for you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of on the same progression that we went through. I mean, we started kind of going through just kind of figuring out what was what, got some devices, started working the team stuff, figuring out what we wanted to do. And then once we had some reliable, you know, meeting times going and we're going out and getting cases, it just seemed to really, really get, you know, case by case, we started having, you know, really amazing things happen. And I just get the sense that's kind of where you're going to go. I mean, this seems to be a pretty standard pattern. You know, I mean, we've seen everything from, you know, cases where, like, I remember one in Virginia City. I went to go in the door to the, it's called the Gold Hill Hotel, and it's the oldest hotel west of the Mississippi, and we were staying there, and I went to open the door to the miner's cabin, and somebody was pulling back on it, except the problem was that the door I was opening was the screen door, and the door in front of me was closed behind it, and yet I've got a very human feeling presence pulling back on the door, and I finally looked up and said, okay, I get it, you're there, and it let go. And I was just like, holy, you know, I mean, it was unreal. And we had multiple events happen there. But one of the things we found was that giving them whiskey, I swear to God, if you give us, if you're in a place where spirits tended to be served spirits, if you will, they like their whiskey, or they like you bring them a little bit of alcohol and you give them a gift of that or something that they like. They really respond to that. We've done this on multiple cases, and it gets results. And let me tell you, you know, I mean, have you hit on anything like that? Is there any little thing that you've hit on in your investigation similar?
Well, I haven't tried the whiskey part yet, but now that you said that, I'm going to. nothing. Yeah, that's interesting. I gotta try that.
Oh, it'll work. Trust me. I mean, I'll be hearing from you going, it worked, dude.
Yeah. No, not really one specific thing that I do, other than, you know, tell them straight out to come out and show us. Because I would like to get, you know, pushed or pinched again. Sometimes, you know, it depends. Some people say, oh, there's, you know, evil spirits and nice spirits. And then for me, sometimes it's hard to determine if, you know, which is which, because it could be both or one or the other. And maybe that's just the only way they can communicate, is to maybe, you know, have a little growl or do a little poke on your shoulder instead of actually saying something or moving something or even showing themselves. And so maybe that's just that's the only thing that they can do, is to, you know, pull on your shirt just a slight bit, you know. But there's the,
No, keep going. I'm disagreeing.
Yeah, but other than that, just there's not really one specific thing that, you know, I try concentrating on, like, you know, like the whiskey that you said. So,
yeah, it's striking to me, the things that we found. We started cataloging in our case reports the things that we were seeing, and you know, we've run into everything from 7-foot tall shadows to these small I call them crawlers. They're like a shadow that you see on the floor that just scurries along the floor and is in and out.
I actually saw one not too long ago at my work, and it was just a black shadow on the floor, and it moved like lightning. It was so quick.
Yeah, that's they're commonly reported. I've run into things where we've seen full on transparent, you know, apparitions to stuff that even looks like the classic, Casper the Friendly Ghost type, apparitions that have been seen, and I saw one of those direct on here at the place, that I'm at right now. And the thing I'm finding, and I'm coming to the theory, this just a personal theory, is that when we see a lot of these different, wildly different forms that we see, I'm starting to believe that what some of these spirits we're seeing are like different species, different classifications, in their own kingdom, if you will. And so when we see these and they manifest enough in our reality to be able to be seen, we're literally looking at another ecology. That's just my sense of it. We have the human spirits, which we do, it's pretty evident what we're dealing with. But some of these things that crawl on the floor, you just are blown away, like, what in the hell is that?
Right.
And it does not feel human to me. I mean, my sense of it is that that's not quite human. That was never human, and it never will be. But,
well, that little shadow on the floor, what I saw, it didn't feel human. At first, my logical explanation said, because I was the only one in there. I just got in there that night at work, and I heard a thump. And I looked over and saw it. I thought it was like an animal or something, not that we had any. But I'm looking at the spot where it went, and there's no hole or anything in that wall for any animal to get in. And it was just, it was quick. But on another note with shadows, after I came home from Waverly Hills, I started, this might sound crazy, and I don't really tell people this, but after Waverly Hills, I came home, and I started seeing shadows walking around back and forth in my living room when I was in my office. And I thought I was going crazy, but
You are not going crazy.
No.
You are absolutely, this is commonly reported after going to some of these major sites. You're not going crazy, dude.
No, I know. So this was a while ago. So one day I got fed up and said, look, you guys can't stay here. You guys have to leave. And it took me probably about 3 or 4 times yelling that out within a month until I stopped seeing them. And then I didn't see them ever since. And then after every location, like Rolling Hills, the first time I went there, after a location, I usually say a little prayer or whatnot, and say, you can't come home with me, you guys have to stay here, that sort of thing. The first visit of Rolling Hills, I forgot to do that, and it was still dark out when I left that morning, and down the country road, I looked in my rearview mirror and saw, like, people in my back seat, like I brought people home, like my friends are sitting in the back seat. I slammed on the brakes, looked back, and there wasn't anything there, and I was like, yes, okay, you guys got to go back there. You can't come home with me. And ever since, I had no problems. Until recently, I did a spirit box session at a friend's house that had some really wild electrical energy. It's not really electrical problems. It's just this weird, eerie feeling electrical energy within the house. And he's had some activity in the house. And we've caught a lot of good EVPs. But we had a spirit box session there. We were trying to get a hold of his family members. But then none of his family members came across the spirit box. It was my family that came across. And what really got me was I heard my name And this spirit box here is the shack hack, I guess if I could call it that.
Yeah.
I took out the kind of the guts of it. Took the antenna out. I took the antenna wires out from the chipboard. And on the AM stations, it's just static. You don't hear any music, any voices, nothing. It's just white noise, and it's pretty good. So we're going there, and you know, heard my name, and then heard the words "your mother," and it sounded like my mom's voice. And then I heard her name, Joyce, three or four times, and then Jake, which was our border collie dog who passed away, and his ashes are up next to my mom's at a campground that she used to go to all the time.
Whoa.
So it was something you can't mistake for any other any other disturbance noise within the device. It was too good to debunk, you know what I'm saying? And I just broke down and told my buddy, "Look, just keep going. I need a break here," you know. And but it was my name, your mother, and then her name three or four times, and then my dog's name right after that. And then I asked it. I forgot what the question exactly was, but it's like, did you just say, you know, Jake? And it said yes. And it said, kept saying dog. It was just crazy stuff where I just had to stop and take a break. I was getting overwhelmed. My buddy understood, so he kept going, and as soon as it quit, it stopped. Just as soon as it started, it was just like that, a couple minutes, and boom, done. Nothing else came on it the rest of the night. So it was quite interesting. So. They have a tendency to find you, you know, no matter, you know, whose house you're at, I guess. So if they want to find you, they're going to find you.
It is that you've described essentially what happened here. I mean, I got into shack hack, and I'm experimenting right now with fans of all things. So using fans as white noise, and then using that as the kind of the energy source to get EVPs with, and it works. I mean, I was surprised. I just dreamed it up and thought maybe I'm not the first to try it, but let me see if this works. But you know what was surprising? I mean, of all people, I mean Kathy. Actually, she's out of the. No, she's still there. Hi, Kathy. Kathy got me into some of this. I started playing around with shack hack boxes in last day of December 2009. And then I dialed in with some friends of hers, and we started doing some telephone bridge work. And the same sorts of things started happening. And then it started happening, when I wasn't on with folks. I would be, just trying EVP at home. And then I was having these all sorts of interesting, messages coming across. And I got the idea to try taking it forward on air. And the next thing you know, it evolved into all of this that we're on right now. You're going down much the same path. I mean, I would not be surprised to see more of this kind of thing happening to you. And it is emotional. It's very emotional when you have family members come through unexpectedly like that. But I mean, it made you feel good, to know that they're okay. I mean, they're coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. On another note, the geophone. I have one, and I took it to Rolling Hills, and we were upstairs, me and a few other people, and I had it on right outside the door in the hallway, at the corner of the hallway where it would go around to the left. So the room and then the hallway is maybe about 15 feet. It was at the end of the hallway. We were in the room, and I was standing there by the doorway, and I heard footsteps coming into the room as if, another friend or another person was coming into the room, and I looked, and there was nobody coming down the 12-foot hallway, and
yeah.
I saw the geophone lighting up like fireworks, and then all of a sudden it just stopped, and I didn't hear anything, and that was pretty interesting. That was I think the one and only time that I've seen the geophone do that, and actually work when it's supposed to, instead of having, you know, having it natural sounds of me walking next to it and stuff. And it was pretty interesting. So those geophones, that was the one and only time that I saw that it worked with footsteps of the other side. It was interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking for the right case to put it on where I have a, you know, static video in a proper setup where I've got, you know, the video on it, audio right next to it and everything, and maybe a second audio source there as like a backup, you know, to really prove everything in some area that has fairly reliable activity to see what happens. You were like the best place possible. I mean, Sharon's facility is, I mean, I can't wait to get out there. I so want to hunt at Rolling Hills. I mean, and for Sharon to stay there, I still shake my head. I mean, sometimes I'll be talking with her and she'll tell me the things that are going on and I'm going, holy crap, how do you sleep there? I mean, God, I mean, it's like Uber, beyond Uber haunted. I mean, there's 2,500 or 3,000 people buried there. It's like sitting in the cemetery, you know? I mean, wow. What sorts of things have happened to you there, that are memorable and things that you've seen at Rolling?
Rolling Hills? Yeah. Me and another friend who has another team down on another part of Syracuse, he came up to Rolling Hills with me, and we were down in the basement in the tunnel that connects to the laundry room, and they were at the one end of the tunnel, and I walked down, and it's pretty dark down there, you can't see anything, and I get halfway down, and the claims are people getting pushed, and stuff like that. So I told them, look, you know, out of respect, I want to try to, you know, make this thing mad or angry. So I'm halfway down and I'm, you know, I'm using bad language and stuff like that. Trying to get it angry to, you know, do something to me or, you know, something. And right after I said that it was chicken after swearing and all, you hear this this loud bang behind my friends who were, you know, say the tunnel is, I don't know, like 30 feet long. I was halfway in between it, and they were at one end. The sound came between me and the the other people at the other end. So it was there in the tunnel with us. But that kind of scared the couple of the females that were with the group of friends there. Four or five of us. And I said, no, Tim, please stop. You're making it mad. And that was pretty interesting. It was just a loud bang. And another one, my favorite of all time, two actually, upstairs in another room where I saw the geophone go off, me and another guy who was in the building that time, we went in to Nurse Emmy's room or something. It's across the way from the piano room. So we're sitting there, and we're trying to do the whole flashlight test. But all of a sudden, we, with our own ears, heard some kind of banging noise in the wall as the pipes were banging. And we thought it was from downstairs, you know, like, but who's banging on pipe? So then we were saying, you hear that? What is that? And we played the EVPs that, or I did when I got back home, and it was only me and him in the room. So I listened to it, and it didn't sound like pipes banging. It sounded like furniture moving in the room where we were in. And it sounded like a little kid playing around where, you know, how they mumble like, that. I heard a little kid going, chairs moving, and then the chair moving and then stop, and then a whisper saying, get down. And that just blew me away. It was clear as day. I just smiled when I heard that. I'm like, wait, did I just hear that? Let's play that again. And it was just amazing because I was there and Joe was there, and we heard this sound like pipes were banging in the wall from downstairs, but it was actually on the recorder of furniture moving in the room. But we didn't see or hear any furniture moving. And then we heard the EVP saying, "Get down," as if I can just picture the video in my mind. A kid was moving a chair, standing on it or something, and some adult was saying, "Hey, get down." It was quite amazing. And then the last one that was pretty good was me and that same guy. We're in the laundry room trying to do the flashlight test. I had my voice recorder on the floor several feet away from me, and there was three men in the room, and the flashlight was going on and off exactly with our questions. This lady, Queenie, I guess she liked me. She kept going with the flashlight on and off, answering questions, and Joel was being very polite, and then all of a sudden I was listening to my recorder back at home. It's as if someone picked up the recorder off of the floor and saying, "Oh, why, thank you." A woman's voice. There were no women in the room or in the basement at that time. It was just three guys, me and two others, in that room. And then a woman's voice, clear as day, came on the recorder. It's like,
those are my favorite kind
hot?
Of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had cases where we've done lock-off. One of the famous hotels out here is called the St. George Hotel in a town called Volcano. It's an old mining town about an hour southeast of us here where I'm at. And I put a EVP recorder into I sit on the third floor of this hotel. It goes back to about 1849, 1850. And three of us were investigating, and we decided to go for dinner. So I thought, hey, great time to, you know, we'll get away and we'll see if we catch anything. So I set the recorder off, and we leave for about 45 minutes, come back, and, I switched the recorder off. And when we got back and started, analyzing the evidence, nothing for about 30 minutes, and then started hearing bumps and bangs in the room. And then something comes up on the recorder and starts ticking the recorder, just like this, like that. Now, mind you, this is in a locked room with the recorder sitting on a bed, in the middle of the bed. That there, you know, and I know there was no rats, no nothing like that. And then you start hearing whispering on the recording, you know, and you're sitting there just going, okay, there was no one in the hotel. And we even tried to debunk it by going out and trying to make noise, and there was no way that we could recreate that, you know. So, I mean, that's the best kind of evidence, you know. The other one that I remember was a case we had at the in Truckee, California. There's a Truckee Hotel, and we put a recorder, an RCA recorder, that had this unique capability of starting at a set time and ending at a set time, its recording session. And about 2:45 in the morning, we were across the hall from this recorder, locked this room. It was a room that a guy had lived in for 40 years at that hotel, and he had died in there. And we had a number of very wild experiences in there, but we went to bed, we were tired, and we let the recorder run, analyze the evidence later, and all you hear is something. It sounds like someone's yelling and screaming, and they're throwing furniture around in the room for about 15 minutes. It's this banging, you know, and then it just ends. And we had clairaudient. I had a clairaudient EVP where I heard this guy telling us to go home, get the hell out. And we caught that on EVP, you know, so when, and it was like, oh boy, you know, this is a great place. You know, and we kept getting all through the hotel. We kept getting, "Heaven help me, I've killed her. Heaven help me, I've killed her." And a lot of women were murdered in this hotel over the years. There's something about this hotel that has this thing. So yeah, this is the kind of stuff you get. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And it's really great when you get a physical sound that you all heard, and you could correlate it. You know. And then you got more on the tape because, you know, when you analyze it, it's like, there was way more. What did I get here? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, what kind of recorders do you guys use?
At the moment, I have just a RCA digital voice recorder. It was $30 or something, just at the local store. But I found out that it's got, I think, one of the best microphones on it. For the price, you just can't beat it, because I've been in locations where the microphone picks up just the slightest sound, no matter where it's coming from, and it's just amazing. So I like it. And then my buddy has a Sony recorder of some sorts, and that's pretty good too. But what I like about mine is it's a USB port on it, so I can just plug it into my computer, and the files just automatically pop up onto my computer, and I just play them back with Audacity program. And some of the Sonys don't have any ports on them, so you know, I guess you can just use a phone jack adapter cord and plug it in that way, and just play them through somehow. But I like mine that has the USB and the wonderful microphone on it. I just wanted something cheap, so I'm like, well, I'll try this one, see how it works for starters a while back, and then just all the sounds that I picked up with that microphone. I like setting it down so my fingers don't rub on it, and because when my fingers rub on it, when I turn it on and start recording and say, hey, this is so-and-so here in this room starting our EVP session, and then I set it down, the fingers on it, it'll blow your eardrums when you're listening to them on headphones.
Oh, that's one of the things we first teach when I've got new investigators. I teach them how to hold their particular device, you know, and show them that when they're going to do an extended session, actually set it down. Make sure to set it down so that you get a really clean session, and then you can start having your dialogue. That's some of the worst stuff is when you got it and they're rubbing against clothes. You'll get EVPs, but you're going to go wade through a lot of trash to get to the good stuff, you know. So, you know, we try to teach them, do everything you can to make sure the recordings are really successful. But, I mean, I hear you, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I buy the Sony ICD series. So I got the P520, the P560, and the P520, the 620, and the 720 is the Sonys we use. And they all have USB, and I would never have an EVP recorder without the ability to put it to a computer quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, God, that's so convenient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also have an old cassette tape recorder that I use sometimes, because sometimes I just like using the old magnetic cassette strip tape that it uses, and the one I got is a mini cassette recorder, GE, automatic voice recording, and it has a, you can plug it into the wall so you don't have to worry about batteries, and I like using that sometimes, but yet again, it doesn't have a USB, I have to plug it in with a phone jack adapter wire and just, you know, straight play it through the whole tape, which takes a while, but I like using those. I haven't caught anything on it yet, because it's kind of old and staticky, but one day I think I will probably catch something on that.
Yeah, I like to use just for the EVPs. I mean, just doing static recording. I'll come in and do an intro and then walk off and leave something just running in a static room, like a lock off if I can. It's surprising, I mean, how often you will get things like that, you know, where you'll just walk away and you'll get spirit activity. We had one where we went into a room where it was quite surprising. It was in downtown Sacramento, and we had two I walked in the room, and the minute I walked in, I went, oh, my God, this room is infested with spirits. I mean, you took a step in, and you could feel it, and realized I was looking around, and I look, and there's two mirrors facing each other. And I said, how long has that been like that? And they're like, well, forever. And I went, oh, interesting, because I've read cases where mirrors facing each other seem to be like an amplifier for this kind of activity. So we put a recorder in there, and we forgot it. It let, you know, and it was there overnight, and it ran 11 hours. It was my P620 I'm holding in my hand right now. And it took us 3 weeks to get the evidence analyzed off that recorder. We had 420 EVPs we got that night.
I mean, wow.
We could not believe that. It was the single most active, you know, set of EVPs we ever got. Did I lose sound? Are we still on? Sorry, just a sec here, Tim. I think we're still on. You can still hear me, right?
I can. I don't know about chat room.
Let me just see if somebody out there in the chat room can let me know. Okay, good. Chips and Salsa says we can hear you. Okay, good. So it looks like there was some sort of nefarious little event going on. So anyway, I lost kind of track of where I was with the sound thing, but we had a troll in there, by the way. I'm sorry. We had to. You were talking, and I was like, had my attention divided. So there was like a moment there where I got very distracted. I'm sorry, my friend.
Oh. No problem.
But how do you do your analysis? I mean, you said you use Audacity, which is the same program I use. So what do you do? Do you tend to just go through and do extracts right then, and then keep like a running log of each recording you're going through?
Yeah, I go for the whole thing, and I usually do the audio recordings first and then the video camera. And then I play it through and then jot down what I think it says and at what time frame it was at. And then when I get to one, and then I do all that, I go on the list and see what number, where it was, where I marked it, go to that EVP, enhance that, and keep playing it back. And doing, all of those different little features and gizmos that it can do. And enhance it and clear it up, amplify it, noise removal, and see if I know what it's saying and all that. And then I go back to the video camcorder if it was on when that recording was on, and line them up and compare them. And see if it was, one of us moving, or if it wasn't, then, just go from there. And it takes a while. It takes about a week or so after a night investigation, because I have the recorder, usually two recorders and the camcorder. And so that takes about a week to 2 weeks, depending on my schedule, to go through everything.
Do you guys tend to do, do you like a full case review afterwards and then like a reveal, or is it more for your own edification and you're not, revealing it to a client? I mean, how does it work generally for you guys?
Well, it depends on the location. Waverly Hills and Rolling Hills, it was more for, experiencing something there and seeing what we could capture. And that's why I went to Rolling Hills 3 times, because it was amazing. The one family, we told them what we found, and, they said nothing was there after we left. The factory place, I gave the DVD video of the evidence, and he liked it. It was pretty amazing. So some places, it depends, it's mostly just for us to capture stuff, and then depends on other locations. We're there to help the families, and we show them what we captured, or a couple of times we tell them, you know, we didn't find anything. And, you know, if you want us to come back, just let us know. So it depends on, you know, who it is or what kind of location it is. But for the most part, we like to help the people and show them what we thought we captured.
What do you think you're going to be doing in the future, like the coming year? What's your thoughts about where you're going as a group?
Oh, I hope to be on TV like the other shows. That's my goal. That's my goal. But no, when I talked to you a week or so ago, just to called in, when I called in a week or so ago, I start my new job tomorrow, so that's good. So everything worked out on that. And I'm not looking at the chat room right now, but I know a few people. I had to, my wife got me a kitten on Father's Day, and
I've been watching the pictures of that kitten. It's like it's cute as hell.
Oh, she's great. She's just she's 5 months now, and she just lost her first baby tooth. And a lot of people probably don't realize that they do lose baby teeth. Kittens, cats, and puppies are just like us. They lose their baby teeth when the new adult teeth grows in. So I was playing with her, and you know, something fell into my hand, and I'm like, oh, wow, what is that? So I looked it up online, and sure enough, I found out that, you know, they grow out and pop out from their, they lose their baby teeth. So that was pretty interesting. But, yeah, she's wild. She's great, and she's doing great for everybody in the chat room that knew Luna. But I'm actually doing, I'm actually filming a show, one of my shows tonight after your show. So that's pretty interesting. We're going to the restaurant where I previously worked that closed down a couple days ago, and the owner let us go in tonight and see if we can't capture something in there. A lot of claims. That's the shadow where I saw moving across the floor. A buddy of mine who's going, he saw a chair move at the bar area. Doors and lights, lights going on and off. A door opening and closing while he was trying to open it. It opened right into his hand when he was going to reach for the doorknob. The gas fireplaces have the remote controls to turn them on and off, and the remote controls were underneath in, you know, on a shelf, so it wasn't the remote facing, you know, the sensor wasn't facing, it was blocked by the box it was laying on, and the flames would just automatically go on by itself. That was another bartender that said that happened. So
holy,
I'm excited
moly.
To do that tonight before the hotel you know, tears it down for their parking lot. So
whoa,
that'll be interesting. Yeah, so that'll be another show.
That was it's funny. I did a case at a place called P30 out not far from the Bay Area. It was a restaurant, and it had a very unusual set of things about it, because there was power, there was a major power transformer right next to the restaurant, and we took great note of that because we were getting a lot of, you know, EMF emissions off it, and we were just doing we weren't even starting the investigation yet. We were just sitting down at a picnic table back of the restaurant, and suddenly I look up and I look directly over, you know, it was behind Spencer. And it was about 20 feet back. There's a 6.5 foot tall shadow of a man standing there looking at us. And I looked straight at it, and it just stayed there. And then it just faded away. And I stopped everybody and said, I just had an experience. And I explained everything I saw, and found out from the owners, this is really commonly seen around this kind of thing. And so, I mean, restaurants, it seems like restaurants, hotels, you know, any of the places where people tend to frequent, and anywhere there's like alcohol, and then, you know, it's just like, it just seems to draw, these sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, you sounds like a good case.
Well, I'll pull out the whiskey tonight out at the bar and see what happens.
And what we did, I mean, just so you kind of have a kind of a structure to go with. I do this a lot, you know, especially if it's like, it's funny. I have a particular graveyard I go to every year for some spirits there that I like, and it's kind of my little tradition. And I'll take them on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'll take them whiskey and take them little gifts to put around the graveyard. And they think I'm great. One of the EVPs we got from that was this one man, as I'm leaving the cemetery, and I was just getting set to close down the EVPs, and I get the last one was, "That man is a saint." But I mean, when you're doing though, like remote cases, just go in and explain, you know, hey, we're here to be of service to you, to help you. Come in as helpful, and then that we're honoring you by bringing you this, and we hope you have a good night. And just you know, be a matter of fact of them, but you know, say this is for you, and it seems to really promote great activity. I haven't had it fail yet, you know. Let's just say that. And especially if you talk in terms that they would use, that's the other thing we've noticed. They, you know, when we start talking and mirroring what they did in their terminology, and maybe even playing some of their music and the things that they liked, it seems to really bring them out. So it's just a technique we use.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I can't wait to try the whiskey and see what happens.
Well, we did it at in Virginia City. We did it outside the Yellow Jacket Mine, and that was a terrible, terrible accident there in 1850 to 1855, somewhere in there. A bunch of guys. There was about 30 or 40 miners were killed in this mine in a terrible fire down below. I mean, and we had experiences. Multiple people witnessed men running out of the mine, including myself. I saw a half torso. It was basically not the torso, but bottom pair of legs in jeans and boots come running out of the mine, and there was no torso, and it went tear-assing out. And so that night, what we did is we went up and we took a Crown Royal. I mean, we don't buy cheap stuff. We bring them the good stuff, and we went up and had a ceremony for them and honored them. And that's when all the phenomena started really taking place. I mean, after that, the next day we were there, it was like they just couldn't—they couldn't be helpful enough to give us phenomena. So there was some heartfelt emotion that was shown, you know, in sorrow for what they went through. But we all toasted them and then left it right there for them overnight at the gate, you know, the gateway to the mine. So, leave it out and walk away and put a recorder next to it, because that's how we had some great EVPs from that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I suspect you'll be telling me in the next week what happened, because you will get stuff. I think they're going to be, the word will get around about you. And and I learned this from, what was her name? It's those two, that husband-wife team out of Reno. I'm trying to remember their name. They're all over the paranormal world, and I don't remember their name, but they're real big on EVP, and they're on all the shows. And
I forgot.
Mark and Debbie Constantino.
Yeah.
I had Mark and Debbie on the show, and Debbie was telling me about this, and this is how I learned to do it. And she told me, kind of the basic technique. When we went to the Yellow Jacket, I told them, the spirit service, I said, Mark and Debbie said to say hi, and by the way, here, I'm bringing whiskey for you guys too. And it's funny, because other researchers have gone in there and they get EVPs about Mark and Debbie, you know, and about the whiskey. So don't be surprised if you kind of get other researchers coming behind you and you start getting these crazy things that, that go, what are they talking about Tim's group for? Because the spirits remember. I mean, they're like, hey, where's the whiskey? Oh, you're not them. Oh, well, okay. Maybe we'll help you. Maybe we won't. But bring gifts and they'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, so you're going to do this investigation tonight. We're coming up to the end of it here, but can you, you know, any other major thing coming up here?
major thing. I'm in the near future, I want to try to plan going to, I don't know if I'm saying it right, the Ohio State Reformatory, the prison that's out in Ohio.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's, I want to do that. That's my next trip I want to plan on. And I want to try to go back to Rolling Hills, see Sharon again. That's on my list to do also. But
okay.
The big plan is to go to Ohio, to the prison there.
All right. Well, we'd love to have you back on, after that case. I mean, if you're willing to come on and, share some EVPs or whatever, we'd love to have you on to do that.
Oh, definitely. A couple other places was I plan on going to a couple haunted lighthouses that are up around here. 'Cause I'm only a few minutes from the shore of Lake Ontario, one of the Great Lakes up here. And there's several lighthouses up around the shores of this Great Lake up here, and I'm going to try going into those in the near future, too, and see what happens.
Okay. Well, and I'm getting notes to extend. Everybody's saying extend. I'll tell you what. I mean, I know Tim has to go, but I can extend and maybe do a little bit of stuff. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and extend, but we'll just we'll do 30 minutes. I didn't plan for this tonight, but I'm giving into the audience rules. So, but now what is your what's your website that you operate off of?
That's swegoghosthunters.webs.com.
Okay, I'm gonna put it in the chat. HTTP OSWEGO.
Yeah.
Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, I put that in chat a little earlier also.
Oh, okay, you got it. Yeah. If you could paste it one more time, because I tried to type it, and I'm going, I can't talk into it. I'm losing it. So do that. And also on Facebook, they can get hold of you for anything. If people want to friend you out there and talk about cases out your way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, this has gone really quick. I just wanted to thank you for coming on and sharing. We have a lot of stuff in common. We've been
on
the same path, man. But I'll definitely be in touch with you after the show, because I wanted to talk more devices with you, and some different things that you're doing. And I wanted to compare some. I've got some thoughts about the EM Vortex and the different things that we've been doing with it, and wanted to see what your experiences were. You're the only other Vortex owner I know. So when I saw that, I was like going, oh, somebody else has got this thing. What have you been doing with it,
Right. I honestly actually haven't used it yet. So I haven't used it on a case yet. So I don't know the results quite yet, but I'm sure in the near future I'll use it and see what happens.
Okay. Well, one final thing. Every time you talked about your family, you know about my mind lamp I run here, the random event generator?
Yes.
Every time you talked about your folks, the mind lamp turned purple, very high spirit. So I have a feeling they were kind of popping in. I didn't open up any mediumship tonight. I wasn't doing any of that. But every time you brought that up, that thing went that direction. So, I would not be surprised if you end up having some more of these little abilities show up in your life as you do more of this. So this will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Okay, my friend. Well, go get out there and get that investigation going. Get the whiskey ready, and keep us informed. All right.
Oh, definitely. I'll be back on your show in the near future. Hopefully, we'll set something up.
Okay. We'll talk afterwards and set a date. You definitely have it. The floor is yours whenever you want it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for dialing in, my friend.
Oh, thank you. So, bye,
okay.
Everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. And that was Tim Zuhl, a really good investigator, somebody I wanted to have on for a long time. The show went a lot faster than I thought. I really did not plan on doing any mediumship, but we are still, we've got 30 minutes, 25 seconds. I didn't extend. So we are good to go for the next 30 minutes. So if people want to dial in and just call in and chat, talk a little bit, the floor is open, 646-478-0377. I'm going to make it up and wing it as we go there, Pilgrim. I really did enjoy interviewing him. He's it's my first interview show, really serious interview show in quite some time. And it's kind of getting back to the old pattern we had, although we're doing the, you know, every Sunday we're doing the bringing in the different folks to interview. And then we're doing the alternate, you know, EVP and then pure mediumship shows. So, as a matter of fact, I mean, upcoming Saturday, next Saturday, we'll have Brenda on again. And what's going on with chips and salsa? You know, I see that, Nancy. What do we got going on? I'm there. I wish I heard the whole thing. How cool. What's going on, Chips? So PM me if whatever you got going on. And I hope Tim has a great investigation. Everybody's sitting there saying that. So he's off to get ready for his investigation. I'm going to be, by the way, I mean, we're going to be doing, oh, you're on the phone. I don't see which number you're, oh, I see it down below. You didn't have your hand up there. That's what's going on. But what we're going to be doing is, for those of you who are listening, who are local to my area, we've got a number of people that'll be joining our investigation in on the September the 17th. And so we're going to be doing, we're meeting at Mimi's at Folsom, I think on September 10th at 5:30 p.m. And what's striking is that day, I didn't realize it, but I won a pair of tickets to an air show. So I'll be coming back from an air show and jumping from there right to the dinner with the investigation talk and all that. But if folks want to join us for dinner out there, feel free. Mimi's in Folsom, 5:30 p.m. And we'll be going over equipment, roles and responsibilities, safety training, all that kind of thing. Yeah, that's another thing I didn't cover with him is about safety stuff that they do out there, what his organization does with Tim. But so that's coming up. I'm going to go ahead and bring salsa on. And I have not meditated, so I'm not probably going to be at my 100% here. Hello, Chips.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, just a nice long day. Kind of really glad I get to sleep in tomorrow. Ooh.
Well, you can do all my homework, and then we can like pretend like that didn't happen.
Oh, pretend like what didn't happen?
Sleep wait.
Oh, I didn't. You broke up there. You said complaint.
Oh, that's okay. I said then you can pretend and have sleep wait.
Oh, it's still breaking up, but
I'll
just go.
That's okay. No problem. Well, I called you because I went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, my mom was dying in Chicago.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
I was concerned about my siblings. I do. We slid in the middle of the night on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. I got there about 4 in the morning. It was very awful. She looked worse than I had imagined. But she is awake. She is out of a coma. She glides in and out of consciousness, I think. Ecstatic, I think, to see my daughter. I don't think she was ecstatic as ecstatic to see me. I think that my siblings have been feeding her lots of garbage, and I don't know what she knows or doesn't know, because she no longer talk. They mm-hmm. did another surgery, and she'll never be able to talk again.
Oh, boy.
They are take apart, you know, a couple more limbs off of her. And it was a horrible experience, other than we did get a chance to say bye. I let her know that, you know, if she wanted squirrel, she should fight like hell. But if she was kind of done with it, she needed to release, that we were okay with that, and we were releasing her. To do whatever she thought she needed to do. And being there, disrupting, you know, not being able to be controlled by my siblings, and they found out been there. They have done some trumped up charges, and there are now warrants for our arrest out there.
What?
And,
just
yes.
for visiting your own? No,
that's
crazy.
Well, they called the police. My daughter wanted to see my dad and my aunt that live at their house, and they said that we were bombarding their house and pounding and whatnot, and they had my dad and Alzheimer's go to the police station and sign papers that, you know, we were not allowed to go there, and if we went there, we would be trespassing. I don't know him. He's so Alzheimer's that it's, you know, so much far in dementia, it's not even funny. So they, you know, abused that situation. Then I found out that later that night when they still couldn't find us anywhere, they called back into the police. We had been there doing the same thing, so they've issued warrants for our arrest. I've gotten a few phone calls from them saying that I need to turn myself in, which I didn't respond because we already were on our way back to Kansas. And so, you know, I'm concerned about the whole thing. My daughter's having a real, real hard time with all of it. I'm not sure when or if my mother will let go. I feel she needs to, but I just don't know anymore. And it's just all really big.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, this kind of thing is just a running river of
yeah.
crap. There's no other way to put it. And the you've done the one thing that you needed to. You did your business, and now it's over with. And if they want to act that way, it's on them. For them to prove, you know, any lawyer who's got any competence is going to be looking at you and going, you did what? And where's the proof? And so, I mean, this is all a bunch of
well,
malarkey.
I contacted
you know.
A lawyer before I went out there. And so there's a lawyer that's my mom's friend who's aware of some of this. And I will contact him on Tuesday to let him know what the new stuff is. And hopefully he can clear it all up and get us, you know, clear from our names. We're going to be, you know, after we do that, then I will change all of my phone numbers.
You're dealing with
done with that.
I don't remember, and it's funny, the mind lamp just turned a perfect pink. So there is love on this whole thing. I mean, you did it out of love. You know, you did
yes,
this out of
I
respect
did.
And love. So, you know, the truth shall set people free, and it'll set you free. And I've totally forgotten why they're this angry, why they're this messed up. But
last year I went out there for 5 months to take care of my parents, and my sister, who financially can hold my parents in like financial hostage, was not able to because I cashed in my 401k to help them last year, and I won't be controlled. And so because I will not be controlled. And I do have knowledge of medical stuff and other things, and I do things from my heart, not from what am I going to get out of this. And I'm able to scoot around wherever I think she's going to do so that, you know, I could have gone during the day knowing that they were going to be there, and then there would have been a big hoopla. I didn't want that. I really wanted to go in, see my mom openly without any kind of interruption, any kind of garbage, and then leave before there were any kind of controversy. And so we did just that, and that angered them because they didn't have a way of getting to us, of trying to make us do something stupid and seeing us jailed, because I jailed my niece last year when she physically went to abuse my dad, and I had her arrested. And so they've never forgiven me for that, and so this is kind of like my payback. And so I'm like,
well,
I won't accept it, and I went there to see my mom. I took my daughter. She got to say goodbye, and it will be now the last time you'll ever see her alive. I'm sure of that. But and I won't go back for a funeral or anything. This was our funeral. I mean, this was it. But
yeah, I remember we talked when we talked about this the last time. It was sort of I think the way we went with the conversation was this is essentially what you needed to do, and
yeah,
and then so I mean this is it. So you've done your business. I mean now. You know, I mean, the whole lawyer thing, that was a good idea. I mean, what you did there, it kind of, you already had the, and you've got the record of the phone call and all that, you know, the attorney will definitely be able to say something to the police and real, you know, this could be just gone away. I mean, what are they going to do? Who's the supposed witnesses? You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. There's no proof that you did anything, and when the police find out they're being used, they're not going to be happy with the people making the charges.
Right.
I mean, this
is
nuts.
Because of your advice, I went ahead and got a lawyer and asked them before I left if there were any restraining orders, if there were any warrants, because I didn't want to go into a trap. And so if there were, I wouldn't have gone at all. And so I knew there weren't, so we went in. I took his number down. I said, in case I run into anything, can I call you? And he gave me his cell number. And I was not going to call him because we were not arrested, but I will call him now that we're back and after the holiday. But my question is, do you see her leaving? And is she at peace with me, or was my feeling that she did not really want to see me valid?
Tonight I didn't do any meditation. I didn't get into my normal space, so I'm just going to go kind of cold turkey here.
Yes.
Mind lamp turned a perfect shade of green here. I'm just going to trust my instincts just right now and just say that, number one, that she's not completely with it.
Yeah.
So she, you know, don't put a lot of stock into what her body and her mind in the current incarnation she's in is saying. She's aware from the higher level self what you tried to do. What you did was absolutely from the heart. That's what's important. And when she gets to the other side, this is all going to play out. You know, there was a lot of karma going on here. There's some really heavy duty stuff that you're going through here that's balancing out a lot of things from past lives. That's kind of the sense I get of this.
Mm.
And I feel like that, you know, you paid your dues. I feel like this whole legal issue will turn out to be a big nothing. You know, you showing up to visit your mother, that's your crime. I mean, the police are going to go, what the frig is this, you know? So I really think that that's not going to be the big issue. What I feel, though, is she will leave in her own good time. You know, it's funny. It's like trying to predict when people are going to leave is always difficult. I feel that she's looking at she's afraid to jump, but she's at the point where she's looking at, you know, her voice is gone. All these different systems are being disconnected from her for the whole purpose of doing what? Just keeping her breathing.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't gonna be long. You know, this is just not gonna work.
Looking at her, I thought it would be maybe 3 to 5 weeks, I think it'll be done.
I wouldn't disagree. I would say anywhere from 3 to 8. That would be my feeling. She's the body. You can't keep doing these things to the body and expect the body to honor this either. The body finally looks around and says, "Say it's time to let this go," and the spirit will disconnect, and then, you know, she'll move on. I'm just so sorry, you know, listening to this. I mean, it's just such a sad story.
Saw her when I left her last year. She was about 190, maybe 120 pounds. She was 4'9". Now I don't even think she's 3 feet because they didn't. They took off more of her legs than they let us know. And she's probably about a good 300 pounds. That's how swollen she's gotten. And that's how much weight she gained from them feeding her just anything. And that's what, you know, what happens when you don't take care of your body, you know, and they didn't. And, you know, they wanted to control the whole situation, I believe, so that nobody knows what they really did and what the real situation is and all of that. And so, and to keep money going, because my sister will not, if my mother's alive, my sister benefits from her clients because they're my people. But once my mother dies, she knows that's going to go. And it's just, you know, it's sad that way, but I can't help but believe that my mother created this by empowering them so long ago and trusting
well,
the people and making this contract with them, you know, way before. You know, so it's really hard. People who are close to her, she has a best friend who they denied coming to see her, who's 92 years old, and now she's in horrible physical shape from sadness. And so,
well, realize this. You know, it's this stuff, we look at it from our side and we see terrible, terrible things with it. When you get to the other side, this is all looked at from a different perspective, and we're all, you know, there's a whole set of different rules operating here. And I mean, I find it difficult. You know, here I am, a medium, and I'm trained to deal with this stuff, and I'm looking at it going, God, you still go, ew. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I look at my father, you know, going through the stuff he is, you know, and I deal with the day-to-day stuff. And even when I'm being, you know, really, really treated badly, you know, I know where that's coming from, and I have to let it brush off, you know. And sometimes you got to walk away, you know, you just go, okay,
yeah.
It's a bad day. But to have that kind of animosity building up behind and then all these things, it's, I wouldn't let this color the rest of my life. You know, this is the thing that I'm going to say, the lesson here that I get out of this is these people have played their cards. They have to, when they cross over themselves, face everything that they've done and judge everything they've done in the way that it affected everybody. And not only in the karma that with you and all that, but every member of this audience who is listening to this right now, in all the feelings that are being touched off from this, kind of like in a widening ring, this
yeah.
is what they have to pay for. You know, I mean, I'm horrified, and they're going to have to look at my horror, you know, at listening to this. And
yeah.
and they're going to have to pay for this. So, you know, what I'm saying to you is look at it, look at what's been learned from this in your life and your daughter's life. And you've done everything you could. Now let it go.
Yeah.
You've done
well,
everything you could, let it go, because you have done more than most people would ever do. And now is time to go in and take a look at your life and say, where do I want to go now? I can't fix this. I can only send love when she passes and then open up for when her spirit decides to come and visit me, which I predict she will.
That's
she
what we
will
told
visit
her.
Me, by the way.
I told her, I said, you know that if you decide to release yourself, that we will miss horribly. But know that we love you, and we don't want you here if you don't want to be here and you are in pain. We don't want you suffering. We don't want you in pain. But my first reaction when I saw her, and I said it without even thinking, is how could you let them do this to you? Because upon first looks, oh my gosh, John, it was horrific. Horrific.
Yeah.
You've never
I have seen people that after going through medical procedures and different things that I just couldn't believe, was this the person I knew? And
yeah.
I have an idea of what you're talking about. It's just, remember, I mean, this is still fresh in your mind, and you've got some immediate, you know, garbage to go through to deal with it. But realize this here now is this isn't at an end for you. You know, the thing to do is to take the last memories that you have of this and say, okay, I did my duty. Go back and pull the pictures of her when she was different.
Yeah.
You know, and when she was in a much better place, and remember that. Remember the good stuff, and actually have like a memorial of your own where you're pulling the good memories, the good things out, and let that be the last imparting shot, not what you saw there in the physical world.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the thing that you can do that'll mitigate this. The other thing is just, you know, resolve from this moment on. This is it. I mean, it's all on them from now on. They've done everything, including her. Here she is in this condition in the hospital. You know, she set this up, but this is karmic justice at work. These are karmic things that are at work that are beyond your control.
Yeah.
You've got a good heart. You've done everything you could. And it's out of love that you did this. So God's looking at you going, wow, great job. Thumbs up.
I just want to thank you because you gave me, you know, the encouragement, and you gave me the knowledge, you know, hire an attorney to protect myself. You know, you and Rita that was on last week. And so, you know, I really want to thank you, because had I not, I would have probably freaked out. And I didn't. And I probably would have gone in a time that I shouldn't have, and would have caught us in this lurch of not coming in the middle of the night. And having the peace to, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of saying goodbye and seeing her for the last time. And so you gave that, you know, and you helped us with that, and I really want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I just think I'm just so sorry you went through this. I really am. I mean, I could not, you know, I've been through 4 years of hell myself, and watching, and for me, I look at what my little experience, it pales in comparison to my mother, who's dealing with the situation much more directly than I am even. And then to see you, it's a much similar situation. And so anybody who's going through a parental thing like this, my heart just, I know what you're going through, you know. I mean, I hear people at work who will tell me their stories, and you almost will come out crying, you know. It's because it's like, oh, my God, I mean, is this all this is? And then you start to, you know, when you study the great spiritual texts, and you listen to the highly evolved spirits out there and people who come in and show you why these situations happen, it's a balancing thing. And as ugly as it is, there's a much higher thing at work that we can't completely comprehend, but I can appreciate it, you know. And so I think if you do this thing that I'm saying with the little ceremony, it will close the book for you in a more positive thing than you have right now.
I will.
Thank
you very much. And you know,
you're welcome.
Room
you're
for
welcome, sweetheart.
All right, we will continue to listen. Thank you much. Have a great one.
You too. And the mind map just turned the perfect shade of blue. I just barely caught it. Okay, well, thank you, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Good night. All right. Let's see, I think she's hanging up there. I don't know. I think I hit the hold there. It's acting. Okay, the board's clear there. So anyway, hey, it's 9:51. We got about 9 minutes left. I don't know quite where to go from here. I'm just going to read off who's in the chat room, and then we'll just kind of wing it for a little while, talk about a few things coming up. So I got Captain BB Hawkeye, got Carrie Whisper out there, Castle 407, Kathy's Distant Echoes, hello, my dear. Chips and Salsa, Curious Listener 1414, Dan Adams, Eve One Heart, we got Gerber Daisy TM. And let's see, I've got a guest that I'm kicking. Bye. And we got Jeannie Marie, Mountain Diva. We got Nancy, and we got Quinny, and all the lurkers out there. And Nancy says, can we take a moment before the end of the show? I'd like that. And for all the folks out there that are having this kind of stuff happen, you know, my own family, you know, Chips and Salsa, and anyone else that you would know that's going through, you know, troubles with family medical things like this, and you've got all the family drama going on, just say a prayer, you know, for these people. Say a prayer, because it helps immeasurably. Even say prayer and forgive the people that are causing the difficulty. That's hard to do from a human perspective. That is very difficult. It's like I had someone from another show who took great delight in causing troubles here over the past year. I actually had the opportunity to forgive them, which was really difficult for me. And I found that if I did that, it's all on them from now on. Because I'm not gonna harbor all that, you know. I mean, it's like this troll we've had coming in. I don't know who that person is related to, but you know, I'll make a blog talk aware of it. Yeah, we've got this person coming on, and here's the times that we were having things come on, so they'll check their logs. You know, I mean, and that's, you know, you take it and you let it go at that. It turns out that anger actually shortens your lifespan, so why get angry? You know, it really is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot. It's a lot more profitable to feel kindness and hopefulness and be happy. You know, you live longer. And I've already got enough gray hairs I've earned on the trip, and I don't need to earn any more. You know, so I just wish people would be more considerate of one another. And, you know, for the trolls that are out there listening, the ones that have been causing troubles, as much as I don't like what you're doing, I forgive you. I think it brings you some kind of great feeling when you do that, but you're just making it worse on yourself. So, I hope that you maybe quit doing it. You know, look inside and find out, why are you doing that? Do you like causing other people annoyance or what? You know, so it's just, we come into this world to learn these lessons, and yeah, they're difficult. But, you know, think about it. You know, this is all like a great big simulator. We come in and we're actually being denied knowledge, and we're working off pure spiritual principles. That's what the whole purpose of this is. And so when we come in and do this work that we do, and we come in and we take the last few lessons that we've had of different lives we've led, and we really try hard to help one another, I mean, we're just really advancing our own individual causes, you know, our own individual spirits, and helping others on their path too, in ways that you can't even imagine. And when we get to the other side, we find this out, and to find it out when you're, and be aware of it while you're in this life, is a really a true gift, I think. So, maybe not so much mediumship tonight, you know, this last 30 minutes, but, that was a great lesson, coming in. I just hope that, that this whole thing with the crazy charges and things like that people get, are putting on this lady for visiting her mother, that I find amazing. I'm still just shaking my head, but they really think they're doing it right. That's the part that's scary with adversarial things. People that you come into conflict with, you, they actually believe that they're doing it right. And they're often shocked and surprised when they find out that what they were doing was really in the wrong, and that's to me is another striking part of this, is to really put yourself in their shoes and try to see it as they're seeing it, and then you come to realize they really believe they're right. You know, some of them are flat out evil. Some of them are flat out evil, but others really think they're doing the right thing, and you may have demonized them and in a way that maybe they weren't really being that way, but they had their own reason. I don't know. So anyway, we've gone on enough about this. It's 9:56. We got about 3 minutes remaining. So I will thank all of you for calling in and listening in. And I'm sorry for some of the audio troubles we had. I was going to do a show during the week, but I have been dealing with, I've got a little medical thing going on, just quick little knowledge, and I'm actually seem to be recovering fairly well from it. It's nothing big. So I'm going to actually do some R&R for the week, and I was going to do a midweek show, but I'm going to just catch some extra Z's. My body seems to be, I addressed it, I'm dealing with it, and I'm feeling a lot better. As of today, I was able to work a little more. So I'm going to take care of John. And then what we will do is on Saturday, I will be on with my friend Brenda, and we'll do some more great shows here. We're going to have the mediumship show and go forward. But you guys will see me pop in and out during the week on other blog talk shows and on Facebook. So and of course, I'll be on my droid. So we'll go from there. So anyway, yeah, I'm okay. I had a little pain thing going on. And it's sort of related to my surgery that I had. So every so often I get some little issues, and it's just one of those deals. So I kind of overdid it with that whale deal, and it kicked my ass. Let's just put it that way. So I'm going to just relax and let it all take care of itself, and we'll go from there. So anyway, this is Soul Stream on Blog Talk Radio, and I think I'll play a little music to take us on out. Actually, let me do a little comedy something. Here we go. We'll play some fun stuff here. Thanks a lot for dialing in, everybody.
Last night you were unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me.
Answer me these questions, see. The other side, he see.
Ask me the questions, Bridge Fever. I'm not afraid.
What is your name?
My name is Sir Lancelot of Camelot.
What is your quest?
to seek the Holy Grail.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Fine, off you go.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's easy!
Stop! Who approaches the Bridge of Death must answer me these questions three. The other side, he see.
Ask me the questions, Bridgekeeper. I'm not afraid.
What is your name?
Sir Robin of Camelot.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is the capital of Assyria?
I don't know that.
Stop! What is your name?
Sir Galahad of Camelot.
What is your quest?
I seek the Grail.
What is your favorite color?
Blue. No, yellow!
Stop! What is your name?
It is Arthur, King of the Britons.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
What do you mean? An African or European swallow?
Huh? I don't know that.